Okay. All right, here we go. And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Wand Box podcast. This is episode 102, DC's Trinity War, Battle Report number one. I am Chris Mosby.
Caleb Gerard. Beatbox, Caleb Gerard.
Oh, you got real quiet there, you all right?
Yes, my throat decided, we're not going to work.
Okay. So, Trinity War. So far, what did you guys think? Let's do a quick overview, I guess.
I think the cover so far is spectacular.
The cover is?
Like the two covers.
Oh, okay.
Together and totally line them up. And they match perfectly.
Okay. Not fair really enough. Fair enough. Gatefold
cover. Well, it's not a gatefold cover, but you know, sometimes you have to wiggle it a little bit, or they've cut it in the wrong spot. So you're, it just doesn't look. It's an art, and it really lines up perfectly.
And if you fold it just the right way, it looks like a middle finger sticking up at you. Oh no! Wait a minute. That's Mad Magazine. I'm sorry. That's wrong.
Is a perfect connection. But on the whole, I'm liking the stuff in between the covers too.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
I had my doubts going from in Justice League, but Justice League of America took it, was much better than Justice League.
Okay. Yeah, you know, just off the top of my head, I kind of agree. It seemed a little muddled.
I also like the art better in Justice League of America. I like Doug Monkey, which takes nothing away from Egon Riche. You know, he's very good. But I'm a Doug Monkey fan, and I think his Wonder Woman is awesome. Story wise. A lot of vagaries, as always, with Geoff Johns' multi-parter. It will be very, very vague for the first, two-thirds of it, and then we'll, slam it into fourth gear. So we have a lot more to come, and I liked the use of the question. Again, that wasn't Justice League of America, but I liked I think, and I'm not reading either Phantom Stranger or Pandora. Trinity of Sin Pandora and Trinity of Sin Phantom Stranger.
Yeah, I just went by, I read the Trinity of Sin Pandora, and it was actually interesting. It's supposed to be a prequel to, it kind of gave the origin of Pandora more than the little bit that we got.
Now, that little background, Pandora was the character that was hinted at in the last issue of Flashpoint when the Flash was recreating the universe.
Right, and then, the number ones, she kept appearing in the background. Yeah, that's that same character.
Right, whether she was photoshopped in or whether the artist actually took the time to draw her in, she was in every single number one.
Yes.
And I don't know if she's been in the subsequent number ones. The ones that have come out second, third, and fourth wave of...
I don't think so, but I wasn't looking.
Okay, so...
I thought she was in the second wave.
Maybe so, yeah. I don't really remember.
But I don't think beyond that she was.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this book kind of gives a more detailed origin for the character. Of course, in mythology, Pandora was the one that opened the Pandora's box, which held all the seven sins. Anybody that's like
that's like when they named that disease the Lou Gehrig's disease.
I know. He was the first one to get it, so.
So she opens the box, and all of a sudden, it's her fault.
Yeah.
Her box.
So, so the seven deadly sins, envy, gluttony, pride, greed, sloth, wrath, and lust, let them loose on the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the Shazam wizards, along with the Phantom, the Stranger, and the Question, condemned her to, you know, this punishment, and she basically undead to walk to Earth and watch all these sins slowly take over man. She saved who she could, little bits and pieces, hid them, and she couldn't stop them, but she tried to put herself in places, you know, talk to kings or whatever, and so she realized that wasn't enough, so she started learning different mystical things. And over the years, I guess she picked up how to fight. And this one couple panels here shows her talking to Vandal Savage. So she started learning, yeah, she started to learn how to fight and actually be able to, quote-unquote, defy the limits of the physical world. Shows her fighting with some Chinese guy with swords, some big, huge, giant-looking guy catching an arrow that looks like Robin Hood, and then she's fighting with some mystical sword. It looks like whatever the name, the Limitless or whatever, that in Red Hood and the Outlaws, that secret sect that Jason Todd was supposed to be in. It looks like them. Yeah. The Endless, that's it, yeah. So then shows her in today in some country, and this guy's helping her out with guns with runes and weapons with runes on it so she can fight whatever. Hold on. That can wait. So, yeah. And, you know, it shows the sins try to kill her, and then she uses her stuff to try to kill them back. And then it shows the Last Shazam wizard showing up, saying, hey, we were wrong, and she releases the power. He releases the power of the Shazam, which ties directly into the backups in Justice League. And then she decides to get the box and try to get the Shazam. Tells her that only somebody with pure of heart can, you know, yeah, only the strongest heart or the darkest can open the box. They're trying to put the sins back in, I guess, to absolve her. And that ties directly into Justice League.
Finally, it only took, I think, just a little background for me. I think it took too long to get to this story.
Yeah, I can see that.
Think that, you know, Geoff Johns was very in love with doing the Captain Marvel, or excuse me, the Shazam story.
Mm-hmm.
He spent a lot of time building that up, and then we'll tie in, I'm sure, into this story. But
oh yeah, definitely.
I think it took too long to get to Pandora's story. I think there was a lot of interest in the character when they first flashpointed DC, mm-hmm. and now 2 years out, it's like not so much. I think. I mean, that's just my opinion. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if there was some... There must have been some last minute. Maybe not last minute, but there had to have been some...
Yeah, definitely last minute.
Because it felt like for a while... Like, you had the first six-issue arc on Justice League that was like a full story, and then you kind of meandered through a couple of storylines until we hit the Throne of Atlantis. And I'm wondering if while they were... It almost felt like they were filling time with some of those stories.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And we were teased with new members, but in the end we got... who are they? Element Woman and Adam and Firestorm. But we had always been teased, like, way back in the beginning that there were going to be these other members that didn't ever really show up, and I don't know. Yeah. I get the sense that something changed in between the beginnings of the New 52 and now they're at the point where they can kind of, okay, we've got our plan for the next stage, so we can keep moving. So
Oh no, you're right. I think that the teaser image had Mira in it, and it had Green Arrow, who's now a Justice League of America member.
Yeah, I don't think they planned this at the beginning.
Well, or they had planned something different, and then
yeah,
circumstances changed, or plans changed, or. Well, we all know everything's been changed.
Yes, I'm sure.
DC's like on shifting sands right now of change, but maybe this is the maybe they've got everything they need and they're moving ahead from this point. Maybe they've got like a clear direction.
You give them a lot of credit.
Is it going to be a bold new direction?
Oh God, I hope not. We all know how those turn out. I did catch up on Justice League of America, and it's not bad, actually.
Sorry, I've been interrupted by a midget here.
Okay.
These are pens, sweetie. You can't use these. Close the door. Sorry.
It's okay.
Real world intruding.
Yeah, I know.
I remember. This is supposed to lead into the Villains United thing, or whatever the hell it's called. It's got, you know, because there's the three Justice League teams, but then the fourth team is the Injustice Society, or whatever they're called in this.
Oh, really?
The Secret Society.
Secret Society, yeah.
Secret Society, thank you, with Alfred as the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know what? I bet it is Alfred. I bet it's like the Earth 3 Alfred, because he's...
Yeah, exactly. I read that, too, somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, it is he's the outsider in this, so
certainly looks like it.
Yep.
I read that. I think I don't know where I read that. I read it on some web page that that's what they think too.
I think he was actually in one of the books.
Was he?
He was in a couple of the Flashpoint books.
Oh so, well, yeah. I didn't read all those. I must have missed it.
I don't know that I read any of. He had like a. Was it a miniseries or just a standalone? Either way, I think it was done by James Robinson.
Oh, really?
Or...
Now of Dynamite,
that's right.
A lot of people are Now of Dynamite.
Yes.
I don't know if you noticed that.
We'll save that for next week. There's
a lot
of
new... We're going to talk about San Diego Comic-Con stuff next week, if plans work out correctly, that is.
Obviously, this is going to lead into the disappearance of all the heroes. That leads into what is it called?
Heroes Reborn? No, that's not it.
Faces of Evil, or I don't.
Evil.
Forever Evil.
Forever Evil. That's it. Yeah, been showing a lot of stuff about that.
I swear to God, we're fans. I cross my heart, we're fans.
Well, you know, it's been a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff coming out of San Diego. It's been hard to keep track of it all.
Well, it's kind of in the vein of how Bendis drove the Avengers. Is one event led to the next event, led to the next event, led to the next event, that's kind of how this is feeling. Which is not a bad thing, because you know the sales on Avengers reflected that people bitched about it, but also continued to buy it.
Oh yeah. We're gonna buy it. We're gonna buy it, but we're gonna complain at the same time. That's pretty much what's happened.
The food here is so terrible, and the portions are so small.
I will buy Trinity War. I don't know if I'll buy Forever Evil, but.
There's more than one miniseries that's going to be tied into it.
Yeah. You know, it really feels like DC's kind of going back to when they were doing the lead up to Infinite Crisis, or no. Was it the lead up to Infinite Crisis, and then
it seems a lot like that, yeah.
Like they did. Oh, my mind's fuzzy.
It's almost identical.
They did four miniseries to the lead up, right? Like they did the OMAC and the.
Yeah, they did the four miniseries, and then they're in somewhere in the middle. They did one shots with the same name.
It feels like they're going for that vibe, which is fine because it worked for them. So. Fingers crossed it'll work for them again.
Yeah, I don't know.
And they even have a comic book called Vibe, so it's...
cool!
Yes.
Okay, so do we want to go through this or just hit the highlights?
Let me see what I remember from the first issue. It was basically...
Loaded up here. I'm sure.
Well, there were a couple of stories going on. You had... I liked the little Madame Xanadu twist, because I wasn't expecting the orange-haired lady to be Plastique. Sorry, spoilers.
Yeah, oh yeah. By the way, we're spoiling the hell out of this. So.
Yeah, yeah. So that was kind of neat. Like, you had Madame Xanadu narrating the tale, throwing out portents of doom and gloom and prophecies of disaster, and then apparently blows up at the end of the issue.
Yes,
and Shazam decides to take Black Adam's ashes to Kandok and gets beat up by the army, and then the Justice League comes to take him out, and then the Justice League of America comes to take out the Justice League. And then
Superman... So we're hitting the highlights then.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And then Superman takes out Dr. Light, blammo.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Which was, he might as well have been wearing a red shirt.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Light totally seemed to come out of nowhere.
Like, yeah, they did. They did. I think they did it for just shock value because of what the other one had done.
Maybe. Like, he was in Justice League a tiny little bit, maybe?
Yeah, he was in one issue of it.
Yeah.
JLA, Justice League of America, I can't remember.
Like, he certainly couldn't have been around long, but then...
No. Yeah, he got his powers in... It was either Justice League or Justice League of America. I don't remember which. But anyway, yeah, she shows up. Go back a little bit. She shows up. Pandora shows up at with Superman and Wonder Woman. They just came from Belrive, and she, you know, she's talking to them about some of what's going on. You see flashbacks between Justice League of America with Dr. Light and Madame Xanadu putting cards down, and you got at Happy Harbor. You got Batman with some of the rest of the league trying to get stuff out of the satellite. And she basically shoves Pandora's box, or the box, excuse me, into his hands. And he gets hit by something. And next thing you know, he's got like a third glowing eye. And he looks really, really evil. And she's shocked. He should have been able to overcome the influence. He's Superman, and he starts attacking. He's all gray looking. So she's Wonder Woman smacks him one or shoots him with his things, and that kind of knocks him out of back into reality or whatever. And that's when Batman gives him the call about Shazam showing up in Kandahak, or however the hell you say that. So Justice League of America finds out, and bam, they're giving case files on all these different Justice League people and how they're supposed to take them out. And, you know, they're all, some of them are freaking out, some of them are okay with it. Catwoman's like, you shouldn't, you know, you guys are crazy to try to do this. And Dr. Light shows up on the ship. And so anyway, they're going to
take them out. I was disappointed because I, you know, not to get too far ahead, but I liked the twist on his powers. I really did. I was like, wow, okay, they're going to develop him up, which was,
yeah,
smart, because, you know, develop a character and then, you know, zap him out of existence. But maybe.
But did you notice who his wife is?
Mm-mm.
Her name was Kim, I think, and and. In previous continuities, the second Dr. Light was Dr. Kimio something.
Yeah, okay, that's
so
cool.
It could be that Dr. Light is married to the lady who will become the next Dr. Light.
Well, and I remember when the poster was first put out, the Trinity War poster, the Dr. Light character in the upper left-hand corner, and looking at it right now, I still think it kind of is, looks female.
Oh, see, we may just get our female Dr. Light.
Interesting.
It was incredibly popular when she was actually finally used.
Yeah, she was. That was actually a pretty good character.
Post-Crisis. It took a while to get there, but she was popular, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so. So anyway, Shazam's in the desert trying to bury that stuff. The army shows up, shoots at him, destroys it, and he gets mad, and before he can do anything, Superman runs into him, and then the classic Shazam Superman battle begins.
Except this Shazam is a douche.
Well, he's a kid. I mean, he don't know any better. But yeah, they made the Billy Batson character not as pure as the other one. But yeah, he's a little. Of course, Zatanna is now part of the league, and she's in her sorcerer-looking outfit. Though she still does have fishnet stockings, thank goodness, for small favors. Nice double-page spread when the Justice League of America shows up. Interesting. And, you know, it goes back and forth. You know, hey, we're trying to take care of this, and blah, blah, blah. You know. And it shows a question in the background. It kind of shows the Trinity a little bit. Questions, I guess the question, they really haven't talked to shown him a bunch, but apparently he is eternally bound to answer questions off and on. So, I just noticed that. They show the Phantom Stranger standing at Ma and Pa Kent's grave, his gravestones.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't notice that before. Interesting. So anyway, the question...
As a starting issue, it was not bad. I mean, it had all the setup. It had all the mm-hmm. you know, the heroes misunderstanding the other heroes trope. You know, the teams coming together under, you know, misinformation circumstances and then finding mm-hmm. common ground just at the very, very, very end of it.
Yeah. You know, I tell you, I'm already not liking the Superman-Wonder Woman boyfriend-girlfriend dynamic. It's tired already, because that's the whole reason he attacks Dr. Light, because she accidentally, you know, Dr. Light accidentally blasts Wonder Woman, and then the next thing you know, Superman, you know, blows a hole in Dr. Light's head. Spoilers, and that's what the hero that crosses the line, but he it's not his fault, obviously. Someone's trying to corrupt him, and that's when Plastique shows her true colors and blows up Madame Xanadu, and as they say, the proverbial shit hits the fan.
Uh-huh.
Ass whoopings everywhere.
I think that that is a reasonable response from Superman.
What, blowing the guy's head off?
Sure.
Okay, sure.
Sure.
See, I can't say anything right now because I know you haven't seen Man of Steel, but I think they might have even, I don't know, they might have planned it from the beginning, but that does relate to Man of Steel a little bit.
And now I have to see Man of Steel.
Yeah, you got to go see it because it's...
Conversation for another time.
I know why everybody's having such a big deal about it. I read Mark Waid's review of it, you know, him being such a big Superman fan. And I can understand why he had a problem with it, but they did to Superman what they did to Batman in Batman Begins. It's the same kind of treatment.
I am not tired of the Superman-Wonder Woman dynamic yet because they haven't explored it at all.
Yeah, no, it's been...
It just seems forced to me. I mean, they tried to force it once before, but... Anyway, I don't know. I haven't seen all of it yet. So.
Well, I don't know if you probably have seen all of it because it's only appeared in a couple of panels in Justice League, and that's
well, then doing the Superman Wonder Woman book, I think, is a little much. But hey, you know, whatever.
Well, I think that's cool. I think that's a neat idea. They've had Superman Batman forever and ever.
Yeah,
I like the idea of them mixing up Superman and Wonder Woman and exploring some of their stories together.
Yeah.
And I think as the two, you know, they really are the two biggest powerhouses. I mean, you know, setting aside Captain Atom and Firestorm, I mean, as just, you know, brute strength, they always put them out, hey, she's just like half an inch below him in terms of, you know, power.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting. And I think it was always something that people wanted to see. Kind of taking the devil's advocate point of view, though,
mm-hmm.
just because we wanted to see it, it was always kind of cool that we never did, and that's why it was so cool that they were actually together in Kingdom Come. You know, it was you know, the future. You know, it's finally, you know, okay, they settled in. This was the natural course of things. And you're right, it does feel a little forced, but I'm intrigued. I'll check out the book. I think that him getting pissed off that this guy wailed on his girlfriend, I could see that.
Yeah, that makes sense when you put it like that.
Oh, see, I took it differently. I thought, yeah, he was angry, but then I thought he blew his head off because Dr. Light was absorbing his
that's an interesting way to put it. Yeah, he had it kind of halfway energized, and that guy's powers is what pulled it out. Maybe that does make sense.
I don't think that's the last we've seen of Dr. Light.
No, well, I've already read that he's, you know, you read, you go on further, and you see, you know, Alfred at the very last panel. This is thanks to me. Everyone will actually believe that Superman killed Dr. Light. So, you know, he's not dead.
Well.
Oh, I think he means that people will believe that Superman is the
cause. Okay, you're right.
It's the killer.
Yeah, right. That makes sense.
No, they as far as I think Outsider is concerned, Outsider Alpha is concerned, Dr. Light is dead. Yeah, and Murray's right.
Yeah, now on Newsarama, they had an interview with Bill Cunningham. Did I get that right? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay. I think it was Cunningham. Yeah, it was, no, excuse me, Brian Cunningham. Mm-hmm. And he talks to him about, and apparently, Phantom Stranger number 11 in stores August 7th, they go, there's a group of leaguers that go to find Dr. Light's soul and learn about what really happened. And then supposedly we're going to cause problems with him later on. I think they talk about that in the next issue in Justice League of America. Apparently he had been told not to, by God, not to go to the afterlife or else, quote unquote. So, but why would you listen to God? I mean, you know. Yeah. So anyway, this next issue, Justice League of America number 6, is narrated by The Question. It looks like, and he keeps giving questions, apparently, that he has to solve, but the one question he can never get is who he is. And, you know, Doug Monkey art, and it starts off with, it's right in the middle of the big fight. It's actually a very good double-page spread. Got the roll call on each side, a big X on Dr. Light, since he has a gaping hole in his head. So yeah, that's how we started. Shazam in the middle, and just the aftermath of it.
The classic double page spread. I love it. Straight out of the old Crisis on Earth, whatever, back in the Justice League JSA crossover days.
Yeah. So you got the Atom. She's torn because of her duplicity. Vibe finally hits the Flash with his powers. You know, I kind of just got lost interest in the Flash. You guys still reading the Flash?
Oh, yeah. I like it.
Okay, maybe I lost track of it.
It's still fast.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, see, of course, I get off of it and it goes back to it. So, yeah, I'll have to pick that up. I'm sure I have those issues around here somewhere.
It is ebbed back to being a quality book.
Well, good. So anyway, big fight. Powers being on, Flash vibrates through John Jones, and then Trevor sends Vibe in after him, disrupts his powers. Batman's like whispering in Catwoman's ear, "Don't fight me, we can help Superman." You know, so
don't
on and so forth.
Don't fight me, baby. Don't fight me.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's like, Superman's obviously got something going on there. It's like the energy's trying to come out of his head, and he's got his hands on there, and he screams, "Stop this and lock me up," which I thought was an interesting, which, of course, that's exactly what he would do.
I just thought of it visually. That looked kind of like when the Omega beams on Darkseid get backed up when someone...
Ooh, I wonder if they're going to tie Apocalypse into this.
Oh, who knows? They're doing pretty good at Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I would think the ultimate evil in the DC universe would be is not in fact Lex Luthor, but is in fact Darkseid. So again, that just popped into my head.
Yeah, it does actually.
Well,
so,
they've been seeding like the new gods all over the place. So
yeah,
they're,
that's true.
They're showing up in Wonder Woman. They're showing up in Earth 2.
Wonder Woman's really got it big time, and I actually that's a good book.
Got Orion in there as a supporting character.
Yeah, I saw the High Father, and he's not the old man, and not a very nice guy, or as nice as he was.
That's right. He was in the last issue. I forgot. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually good. I just read that the other day. So a little bit of aftermath. He's there. It says, "I don't want to hurt anybody else." And he goes, "I killed a man," and they're all standing there and they're like, "What do we do?" Huh? So yeah, they take you in, and then they're talking about back and forth, and they're all at the same. They're back at the same infirmary, and just back and forth, little wonderful little things. Hawkman's one of his wounds healed wrong, and he's like, "Here," and he gives the doctor a big knife. "Here, open him back up and fix me." Kind of interesting.
Finally, he's interesting. It took his book being canceled.
Yeah. And, yeah, back and forth, and Waller asks Firestorm to create kryptonite, and then a little interesting back and forth between Wonder Woman and Colonel Trevor.
I liked this, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I kind of liked it, too, because she kind of used him a little bit, maybe, I don't know. That's what it made it look like. She's wanting to know, "How come you didn't contact me first, and the man's dead because of it?" And then there's the interesting little scene with Superman all strapped into the machine, a thing over his head, so his heat vision won't come out, apparently. Which, will that really work? No idea. And then he's obviously something wrong with him, because he's coughing. Superman is. And Batman's trying to figure things out. And it shows the autopsy of Dr. Light. Cyborg and Martian Manhunter are doing it. And Superman's wanting to know about the guy's family. And, of course, he's telling him, and he just feels all wrong. Wonder Woman jumps on Batman's ass. He's like, "Why would you tell him he had a family?" He asked. I thought that was kind of funny.
Dude, that was actually – I like that exchange. Like, look, he asked me. You know, what am I going to lie to the man?
Yeah. So, then, you know, it's the same, you know, usual – she's telling him about Pandora. He's saying it's a myth. And anyway –
Myth.
She shows up whooping up on Prometheus. He said, "I didn't make it." And, you know, back and forth.
I like that, too. I you know, it's a total aside. But
this is a lot better than the other one, I thought. A lot better structured.
I like the use. I mean, we're finally seeing a little continuity between the Wonder Woman book and the rest of the DC universe. This feels like the first hardcore continuity moment between those two books, between Wonder Woman and the rest. Because, you know, a lot of her stuff has felt like it's very standalone, and it doesn't even seem like it has a time stamp on it.
I agree.
But now with the introduction, you know, showing, what's his name again? The forger guy?
Hephaestus.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, showing him there, who he was a, you know, a fairly major part of the first and second storyline with Wonder Woman, puts a little bit of time continuity in, on her book.
And this Wonder Woman sounds a little more like Azzarello's Wonder Woman. Like, or maybe it's just the feel. Like, maybe it's just tying her into the myth a little more.
Yeah.
The Greek myths a little more strongly. There just seems, you can see how this Wonder Woman might also be the same Wonder Woman who's in her own book there. Like, there seems a stronger connection. I don't know. They seem like they could be the same character now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, they seemed like they were very two different takes on
a
character. Now the takes are a little closer to each other.
Yes, I agree.
And I like that she's taking the lead. Like, I like that she's out there hunting down a mystical angle while Batman is doing the scientific approach. Yeah. And they're each taking point on the areas that they would have their strengths.
Yes.
And that monkey panel, or that thigh panel thing where he shows her speeding across the water and then on her face. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's a great little thing.
That was incredibly cool.
You know what's funny is that this is the same kind of thing. If you ever play the DC Heroes Online thing that Sony has, that's how they split up the three of them, is when you're picking your characters, is, you know, everything science has to do with Batman, everything magic has to do with Wonder Woman. So if you pick her as your mentor, then you have magic-based powers. So it's, you know, they've tied that in pretty well.
I was more impressed with this issue than the previous.
Yeah, it's actually good. And then the question shows up at the end. Wants to talk to Superman.
I like their take on the question too.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I like that he's been cursed with having to find answers to these questions that just keep popping into his head. Like, I think that's a cool approach. I don't know if I like that he can appear like other people, like take on other people's appearances. I don't know. Is that new? He was never able to do that before, was
he? He just had no face.
It's backwards. It's backwards because he would have to use some kind of chemical to put that faceless mask on, but now it's the other way around. He uses whatever's in that thing to get a face. So his normal look is faceless. That's an interesting twist to it.
And if that's all it is, if it's just the chemical changing his face rather than his whole body. Like, I mean, I'm assuming his body type is pretty similar to Steve Trevor, so it's
mostly.
He's wearing a Steve Trevor face, maybe he can pass, but if he were wearing like a Wonder Woman face, he might have a little more difficulty.
You
know, probably can't pull off the bikini the same way that Diana can. That's what I'm hoping. Like, I would rather it's just a face changing thing than a chameleon boy thing where he can take on someone's complete appearance. But
and that's why I was curious whether he's had whether they've had any play with him in Phantom Stranger. So obviously, I
don't know. I'm reading through they did another interview second week of Trinity War on Newsarama, and I get the hint, the gist that this is his first real big, you know, showing, and it says that the rest of his story will unfold in Trinity War and continue in Phantom Stranger, and they're like trying to force people to read that. I wonder if Didio is still writing it.
He's not.
Nope.
Dave Matisse is writing it, I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. See, and they say a little snippet for next time, and it says, Justice League Dark number 22 will not only show what this team is capable of, same with issue number 23, but also show off the best art, Mikhail Jalen's career, yada. Anyway, so apparently Newsarama is going to do a weekly event for that, so we can always use that as a guide. Trying to see if there's anything in here that we missed. Go ahead.
I have a continuity problem in this issue, by the way.
All right. Hit it.
Black Orchid has not been in Justice League Dark for many an issue.
She hasn't? I haven't read it in a while.
She has moved on, and so having her in here, I don't know where that fits into the...
Okay, I haven't read that book in a while. But Lemire writes that, right?
He does.
And he co-wrote this issue, so I wonder if that was written...
When she left JL Dark, was it like a definitive leaving, or was it a...
I think just one issue she was there, and the next issue she wasn't. It's a semi-rotating cast of characters.
Well, that might be your answer then.
Like, if the membership is kind of fluid and they're all gathering at Xanadu's home because they're worried she's been blown up, maybe that's enough to pull her back from whatever she's doing, wherever she was.
I'll be interested to see how they do that, because again, the cast currently has been Deadman, Frankenstein, Constantine, Xanadu, and
Deadman.
Did I not say Deadman? Oh, okay, Deadman.
Maybe you did. Playback. Playback.
That's right. Woo! Angus, and she's not been in there. Neither has Zatanna. A couple issues ago, she walked. So.
Yeah, that seems like I remember hearing about that. I think they made it pretty clear that they were going to put her on Justice League anyway.
Yeah, I think she's going to Justice League proper. So.
Yeah, well, and she showed up in Justice League on their side, first part of the Trinity War. So.
I like that they're starting to play around with the alliances and stuff, like that the folks that are on Justice League of America are kind of questioning some of the... Amanda Waller, I could do without her, actually. I'm not fond of her... manipulating the league behind... Well, not even manipulating, just bullying the league behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. She's got blackmail on all of them, just about.
Yeah. I like there are people that are questioning and that they're forming different little alliances within the leagues. Like, they're not sticking straight to Justice League will stand here, Justice League of America will stand here, and we'll all be... Like, they're forming little friendships, and they're forming little... I'd like to see, by the end of the Trinity War... maybe a mix-up in the memberships, like have some of the Justice League America members defect over to Justice League, and maybe have some of the Justice League characters, well, there aren't many, jump over to America or something. Like, I'd like to see a little bit of ebb and flow and movement if they're going to mix the teams up together.
I'm sure they'll do that if it'll sell.
And it's actually, you know, we make fun of it all the time. When they say, oh, you know, this is a status quo changing, you know, event.
Well,
but
they got to establish status quo first, don't they?
Well, Justice League of America does have their status quo. Their status quo was they were supposed to be the anti-Justice League. They were supposed to be the, you know, stand against them if the Justice League ever went rogue. You know, we've got all these, you know, their parallels to take care of them. Well, they can organically adjust that. They can say, okay, well, we've got this other team. We're going to have to change what they're doing, you know, why they're together, and I think this is actually a good reason to do it. And I 100% agree with you guys. Amanda Waller is getting way too much play in the DC.
Oh universe. Yeah, absolutely.
She is in every single. It feels like she's in every book, but she's in the books I read. She's in Justice League. She's in Suicide Squad. She's in Vibe. She's in she was in Captain Atom. You know, she was in Firestorm. She's every freaking where. It's like how Nick Fury was everywhere for a while there.
That's how they're keeping her thin. She's jogging between all these books.
Interesting.
She deletes her ho-hos and her Twinkies.
I would love to see that as a little subplot. Her sitting in the corner, mowing down on a donut, and then like, no. stay thin. Run to the Justice League Dark.
Jeez. Like the character in The Closer, as she always had her drawer full of ding-dongs and chocolates. Oh, God, it would be cool to have her have an eating disorder. That would be awesome.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, I thought that would be great. That would be like just a, I mean, it doesn't even have to ever be addressed, ever. Just, you know, every once in a while, you know, you catch her in a private moment, mm-hmm. macking down on a...
You ever watch this TV show, The Closer?
Yes, that's what I was saying, yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes, I've heard she's got a closet full of ding-dongs and ho-hos.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, I was zoning out on something else. I apologize.
I would... Murray, you found an actual reason for me to like Amanda Waller moment. Wow.
That would be funny.
There you go.
I'd buy that for $1.
Sure.
All right, well, $3.
$4. Not $4? You buy it for $3 but not $4?
No.
Okay.
I'd buy most of these for $3.
Yeah, this is true.
Or $2.
This is true.
Or.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Okay.
Or.
Right. Okay. So, what else we got? I couldn't really find anything big in their little thing, but...
No, but they hinted little things. Like, there's little things they're dropping throughout the whole...
Yeah, like, it's like something about chess pieces, too.
Yeah, that's like I want...
Yeah, the brief glimpse, John gets a Superman's chess piece, vibe sense of something beyond, Superman's cough, Diana's discoveries about the box, and more, I'm sure I'm missing, are some of these red headings, yes and no, saying which would spoil half the fun, Cunningham says.
The chess pieces are from our Despero thing, right?
I would think so, yeah.
I think so, and when Superman displayed that third eye, that shows Despero was involved somehow.
Yeah.
Well, the box has three eyes.
Yeah, but it's the chess pieces in the third eye. That's a good. I hadn't made that connection before, but that's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they thought something was controlling him anyway, didn't they?
And
that's
he just
showed up all of a sudden.
And that's a Despero thing. He controls people.
Yeah.
Despero. I don't know. Whatever.
Whatever.
Which is it? Despero?
That's what I always said, but that doesn't mean I'm right. So.
I need to watch Brave
this week, you get to be right.
Oh, well, that's good.
oh, man, I hadn't made that connection. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay. And we don't know where the Pandora's box came from. I mean, they you know, it showed up. I mean, it wasn't made. So, I would be disappointed if they made it alien in nature, but...
I don't think it's alien in nature, but because I mean they show pretty much the whole chain of events that has her open it in that Trinity of Sin Pandora book. So
where did it come from?
It just showed up. Somebody handed it to her.
It's the doctor's head.
There you go. Oh, that would be interesting.
It's the 12th doctor. Now we know who it is.
Yeah, she was just walking along looking for food, saw the.
The golden skull lying on the ground.
Yeah, saw a flash, and she followed it. She picked it up, and then bam, she has three eyes, and then it opens. And that's it. And then once she dropped it, all the glowing in the eyes was gone. And then they don't show it again for quite a while in here. She ends up getting it back. I think didn't she steal it in one of the Justice League issues, she showed up at the black room or the red room or whatever it was.
Oh,
that's how she got it back.
Was that the Free Comic Book Day thing?
Yeah, she's had it for a while. That's when she got it back. She hadn't had it back since then.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, even when the Shazam wizard showed up, she didn't even have it then. So she got it back then, and then she shows up. Yeah, there you go.
I'm actually becoming more interested in this storyline the more we talk about it.
It's actually a lot better than I thought, and they have put some thought into it.
God help them if this thing crashes and burns like AVX or Age of Ultron.
To be fair, Age of Ultron never got off the what do you call it, the runway, so it hardly crashed and burned. It just kind of...
Yeah, it was very, very confusing. I don't think I even finished it.
It's okay. You didn't miss anything. You can watch the movie.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Little San Diego Comic-Con news. That's the name of the next Avengers movie. Avengers Age of Ultron. And we'll talk about that next week. So,
I'm actually more – again, I don't – I hope it does not. Okay, so AVX, there's it's a good comparison because I think we'd all agree that we were very pro Avengers versus X-Men.
Yeah.
And
at the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, and probably 2/3 of the way through we were into it, and then it kind of it didn't hold up at the end. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to speak for you guys, but I don't think the ending held up the as strong as.
No, they went through all that crap to stop her from getting the Phoenix thing, and then they end up letting her have it in anyway. And then you got Cyclops is like a bad guy, which I haven't read Uncanny X-Men in a while either.
You're a boss. I'm kidding. But I'm
catch
hoping
up. It's been crazy around here.
I'm hoping this one it has a strong payoff, or you know whatever it leads into, it feels you know natural for it to go from this storyline to whatever the next one is. Mm-hmm. So fingers crossed on that. Hopefully Geoff Johns does not do his usual build, you know, slow build. One issue of boom, and then it's over.
Yeah, that was definitely the way that the White Lantern thing ended. It was all that build up, and then just all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're all done. So.
Whoa.
Yeah, a little feedback. Whoa. Well, all right then.
Sounds like somebody shook up a Ebola.
A can of Ebola? What?
What?
Didn't it sound like...
Did you hear it, Murray?
I didn't hear anything. All I heard was Caleb saying there's a can of Ebola.
Oh, okay. So he didn't hear it.
It was a bottle of Coca-Cola is what I said.
Bottle of Ebola. That's that could be the next Marvel event.
Ebola.
Avengers Ebola. In the Savage Land.
Interesting.
Oh my. Well,
all right, let's wrap this up.
I think we covered it all.
Sandwich waiting for me.
Yeah, sandwich waiting for you. Yeah, I got to call back work. They've called twice now.
Did you blow up the patches? Good luck.
No, man, I didn't. I don't know what the deal is. They're done and things, and I've got two different calls and.
Mac.
It's just
okay. Well, Mac. Next week, San Diego.
Next week, San Diego. We'll have a whole bunch of the rest of the day news because there's still one day left, and we'll go over it and all that good stuff.
Read the news. Hopefully. I'm kidding.
Okay, and as usual, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelawnbox.com. Blah, 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 blah. I just went blank. Sorry. Oh, yeah, Facebook. You can contact us on Facebook and join the ever-growing populace that dishes around comics and has verbal jabs and upset nerd rage and all that good stuff, especially about prices. Don't get us started. And you can also comment on the actual episodes themselves on the blog at talesfromthelawnbox.com/the-show. And that is it for this week.
Word to your mother.
Word to your mother. That's funny. All right. And bye. That's it. Bye.